Today's the 12th anniversary of that terrorist attack on our nation. Many of you remember well exactly where you were and what you were doing when the news reached you. I remember the next evening was a Wednesday night service, of course. That happened on a Tuesday 12 years ago. That was our Wednesday being our midweek service. And I used the text. I looked at the notes the other day. I used the text from 2 Timothy chapter 3, the text about perilous times, as the starting point. And I said back then in that message on Wednesday night that we had to look beyond the details of the attack. We had to look beyond the deaths, the perpetrators, the methods, all that was involved, and see that God was attempting to get our attention. There's either one or two things as I look back on that. It might have been both, that God was seeking to get our attention, or that was the first real solid indication that He had taken His hand of protection off of our country and had turned us over to judgment. It might be both. America as a nation today, we look back and we see the tragedies involved. And then we look again and America begins to boast about her strength to rebuild. And look what we've done and look how we've come back. And now we've got the tallest skyscraper in the world going up there in the place of those towers. And in secular America's mind, we are safer, better, and stronger today than we were 12 years ago because we are more informed and tolerant and educated than we were then. The truth is, I cannot think of one area where we are better today as a country than we were on that day 12 years ago. I really can't. I can't think of one. Leadership-wise, I know we're hurting. That made me homesick when I saw the face of the former president. That's determination. That's leadership. Not what we've seen on display the last 3 or 4 days. It's been horrible. It's been unbelievable. There's deterioration on every front. We could talk about the economic deterioration. We could talk about all the other deterioration. But the fact that I passed by a mosque today, leaving Memphis early this morning. I passed by a mosque. I was going to have somebody check, and I forgot to. But I'll promise you that if you ran a search, that there are far more mosques in America today than there were back in September of 2001. I believe that includes Christianity. I don't think we're as strong today as we were then. We have more compromise, more giving up on old-time religion than I've ever seen in a long, long time. I believe we've missed the wake-up call. We've become far more concerned about having a stronger economy than we are about having a stronger Christianity. It's sad. I talked to the Lord about it today, and I apologize. I said, Lord, I'm ashamed of us as Christians, and I'm ashamed of us as a nation that we aren't closer to You as a result of what took place then than we were back then. We should be tons closer to the Lord today. There should be a lot more people in church because of what happened 12 years ago. The opposite is true. There's been no turning back to God since that fateful day. I've had 4 children marry. Within days, that number will be 5, and my wife and I have welcomed 7 grandchildren into this world, and you can calculate and do what's happened in your life since that time 12 years ago. Some of you children have been born since that day 12 years ago. It would be wonderful if there had been a strong turning back to God as a result of those attacks, and that our grandkids and your grandkids had entered into a country with a strong God consciousness. But sadly, the opposite is true. There's been no turning back to God, and there is a less God consciousness than there was at that time. It's unbelievable. And I don't want to be discouraging about the future. I don't want to create fear or hopelessness in the hearts and minds of our youth. But neither, friend, do I think it's even fair to our youth to glibly paint a golden picture of ease and peace for the future. I don't think that's a fair thing to do to our kids. So I'm trying to find that balance. We all know that we're headed to a place of peace and safety someday as God's children, but it won't be on this earth. And I believe we can have blessings, peace, and happiness as individuals and families, as a church, and even in certain communities. God's judgment has come, and it will continue to come in both subtle and obvious forms. I personally believe that. This is my opinion. I have no Bible for this. This is my opinion that our current administration is a form of God's judgment on this country. Just pitiful. I almost didn't have Faith sing tonight. I almost went down and said, Faith, I'm going to show a video clip, and then I'm going to get right on to just a very brief lesson tonight. But I could not believe the song that she sang because it just, I had no idea what she was singing. But it fits so perfectly with what I want to say. To every person in here, young and old, and especially the youth. Especially the youth. Now we're in Genesis chapter 8, and I want you to look here without going into great detail of what's already taken place. You know the flood has come. The waters are on the earth, okay? All right? You can see that in verse number 3, verse number 2. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, so the flood is ended, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters returned from off the earth continually. And so their waters are on the earth. And friend, the water being on the earth, don't miss it now, is a picture of judgment. Isn't it? God said, the thoughts of men's hearts are only evil continually, and it repenteth me that I've made him. He said, no, you build a boat because I'm going to destroy all living creatures and all flesh. You and your wife, your three sons and their wives are coming on the boat, and two of every kind of living creatures will come on there, and I'm going to destroy everything else. It repenteth me that I've made man. And the waters of judgment came on the earth. I personally feel like the judgment of God is on this country. I think we have taken several more steps down in world opinion in the last week in this mess with the Middle East. There's no compass. There's no direction. Either it's complete incompetence or it is a very devious, satanic, inspired conspiracy. One of the two. One of the two. And I feel like God's judgment is on this country. And I want you to see something like the waters of judgment were on the earth back in Noah's day. Let me look what it says in verse number 7. And he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Now, I want you to see that he sent the raven out of the boat, and the raven is an unclean bird. Right? It's an unclean bird to the Jewish people. That's what was so remarkable about the birds, the ravens, bringing Elijah bread and meat, bread and flesh by the brook Cherith there when the drought was on. So the raven is an unclean bird, and Noah takes this unclean bird and he releases this unclean bird from the ark, this raven. And the Bible says that the raven went to and fro over the earth until the waters were dried up from the earth. He dried up from off the earth. He never returned to the ark. He stayed out there. He was at peace. He was at home. He was okay with a world under the judgment of God. He fit right in. Next verse, verse number 8. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark. I love it. The dove is a clean bird. And when the dove was released from the ark by Noah to go out and fly over the earth, as the dove flew over the earth that was underneath the judgment of God, that dove found no rest. What did the Bible say? Found no rest for the sole of her foot. So what did she do? She returned to the ark. And what is that ark? Or should I ask, who is that ark a picture of? It's a picture of none other than Jesus Christ. Amen. So here's what I want to say tonight, church, and to the young people. Yes, you hear me and you hear the preacher say that we believe the judgment of God has started upon this country. And I do believe that. And you may think, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? And it's hopeless and I'm helpless. And no, you're not. As long as you're in the ark, you're fine. As long as you're in the ark, you're okay. God's people are not supposed to feel comfortable in this world. I like what the songwriter said. We sing it once in a while from our gray book. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And it's not, friend. I feel less and less at home in this world. I'm sorry. I hope you don't misinterpret. I'd rather be an American tonight than any other citizen of any other country. But I am less and less at home in my country. Less and less. The values, the morals, the things that our nation embraces as important and precious and wonderful, I find repulsive. Hollywood repulses me. The grab for money repulses me. I don't feel at home here. I'm not supposed to. You don't feel at home here. You're not supposed to. We're not ravens. We're doves. We've been cleansed. We've been washed. Made whole by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just like this dove didn't find any place for the sole of her foot in a world that was under the judgment of God, she returned unto Him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. I love this. Then He put forth His hand and took her and pulled her in unto Him into the ark. She found her resting place in that ark. And isn't that what Faith just sang about? Our security, our rest, our hope, our everything is found in God. He is our rock. He is our refuge. He is our safety. And I just want to say tonight to all the young people, if there ever was a day for you, first of all, to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And that's where it starts. And like I said on Sunday morning, salvation is not passed down through the bloodline of the family. It's not passed down through the bloodline of the family. It only comes through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So you start with salvation, kiddos, and you know that you're saved, and you get that matter settled, and you get all the doubts cleared up, and you get it anchored in the Word of God. And then as a young man, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years of age, as a young lady, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years of age, and on through your teenage years, no matter how old you are as a young person, if you will just develop your relationship with Jesus Christ and get close to the Lord and anchor yourself in His book. And as the missionary brother said tonight, do the will of God. You know what he said? You know, in essence, what he was saying? Run to the ark and do the will of God. You don't have to be scared. You don't have to be nervous. You don't have to be fretful. You don't have to be overcome by anxiety, I might even preach about this on Sunday night. And I thought about this, you know, we can't change the things that we worry about, but worry can sure change us. That's true. And worry changes people. I just want to encourage the young people tonight, and even the older folks here tonight, when I look around and I see a stammering, stuttering administration, has nothing to do with the color of the skin. Nothing to do with the color of the skin. I heard Herman Cain on the radio. He's a black man. I thought, man, I'd vote for him for president in a heartbeat. That has nothing to do with the color of his skin. You know, we had another clip that we thought about showing tonight, but it showed the clip of the 535 congressmen and senators standing on the steps of the Capitol after the attack singing God Bless America. I can't stomach to watch it. Because half that crowd is part of a party platform that didn't even want the name of God in their platform last summer. I can't stomach it. It's a bunch of hypocrites. Makes me sick. I just believe with all of my heart that we are a nation without a rudder. We're rudderless. We're leaderless. We have no clue. No clue. And I just believe with all my heart that it is just part of God's judgment on this country. And I kind of go back to this day, September 11, 2001, as a time when, you know, that boy, God just kind of took His protective hand off of our nation and said, you don't want me? That's fine. Here you go. If there's ever a time for God's people, the clean people, the doves, if there's ever a time to get close to the ark and anchor in the ark and draw close to the ark and live in the ark and live in the will of God, it's now. And young people, if you're not developing your spiritual relationship with the Lord, if you are not putting God first, if you are not desiring God, if you are not wanting God above all else in your life, you are making a drastic mistake. Drastic mistake. Now, who knows where it's going from here? I think Brother Ed said that tonight in his little talk. Who knows where it's going? But I'm not worried, friend, because on October 15th, I saw the man this morning who showed me the gospel and led me to Christ almost 35 years ago. And since that time, I've not been everything God wanted me to be and needed me to be, but I've been a dove. I haven't been able to put my roots too deep in this world. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I haven't found any rest for the sole of my foot in this world since I got saved. Before I got saved, I found a lot of rest in this world. I had rest in this world's music. I had rest in this world's entertainment. I had rest in this world's values, like many of you did. But when I got saved, all that changed. I found no more rest for the sole of my foot here, but I have found rest in the ark. I've found rest, I've found comfort, I've found encouragement, I've found power, I've found strength, I've found faith, I've found it everything I ever needed, I found in the ark. So run to the ark, kiddos. Get in your Bible and learn how to pray. And listen, you're going to look over the fence once in a while and see what the world's doing and wonder to yourself, is what I'm doing really real? Just hang with it. Hang with it. But what you'll do is you'll find out that when you get out over that fence, if you pursue what's over the fence over there, you're going to find it out that that's real too. And there's heartache and trouble and disaster. If you'll just stay in the ark, you'll be as happy as you'll ever want to be. Stay with the Lord and develop your relationship with the Lord. The waters of earth were on the waters were on the earth, the waters of judgment. The raven, the unclean bird, he was okay with it. He could fly around and do just fine, probably eating the dead fish that was floating in the water. The carrion. He was okay. But when Noah sent that dove out, she found no rest for the sole of her foot, so she headed right back to that place of safety. And child of God, He's still our place of safety today. Our place of strength and encouragement. So you get to the ark tonight and stay there. Amen? Let's stand together, please. Thank you for listening. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll please forgive us as a country. Forgive us for not repenting and turning back to you. God, we've become more radical. We've become more sinful. We've become more brazen. We've become less conscious of you. Boldly exhibiting homosexuality and a disdain for godly principles about marriage and family. And Father, we're in trouble. Oh, how we should have fled back to you by the hundreds of thousands. We should have had a stronger Christianity and a stronger witness as a result of 9/11, but Lord, sadly, there are more mosques now than there were then. Our country is wrong. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for me. I'm sorry for our church. I'm sorry for our country, Lord, for how we've neglected you. God, please forgive us. And I pray that, Lord, you'll help us as your people to draw close to the ark and stay close to the ark and harbor in the ark. Thank you for being our security and our safety and our strength and everything we need in this life. I pray for the youth of this church. God, I pray that they won't be deceived by the allurement of something so fleeting as a dollar bill. That is absolutely so fleeting. I pray, Lord, that they will not be lured by fame or popularity, worldly fashion, style, morals. God, please, I pray that they'll be in their Bibles. I pray that they'll be in the ark, secure, safe, dwelling there, staying put there. May they not find any rest for the sole of their feet in this world that's under judgment, but may they live in what the brother talked about tonight, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Help them, I pray. May these few short minutes tonight, listening to Brother Johnson talk about how wonderful the will of God is, and Lord, thinking about 9/11 and about the ark and the safety and refuge that we have in the Lord, may it cause us tonight to want to be close to You, Lord. Reach out and grab somebody. Reach out and grab some young person and pull them in tight, Lord, please. I pray, and I'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, please, just a brief word of invitation.